As we stand, let us pray. Father God, we thank you. You are a speaking God. We pray that you would open our ears to hear you and move in our minds and our hearts to understand and believe and obey what you have for us. Amen. Please be seated. And our text this morning is quite a short one. If you've been here the last few weeks, you'll know we're going through the Beatitudes, the blessed sayings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And our text this morning is Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And we remember, talking about hunger and thirst, that hunger and thirst is often a sign of health. When a baby is born, I guess this was true for when Eloise was born, generally you'll hear when they were born, what day, and if it was particularly troubling, what middle of the night time it was that they appeared, what their name is, and their weight. And if you're a bloke, generally go, the weight, but maybe it matters a lot to their mother, whether it was 12 pounds or 6 pounds. But the weight doesn't matter very much, actually. It's what happens in the next weeks and months, isn't it? Is the baby hungering and thirsting and growing? Are they healthy? Hunger is a sign of health. In fact, hunger and thirst is taken as a measure of health throughout life, isn't it? If someone stops eating, if they stop wanting food and drink, there's probably a problem with them. Hunger and thirst is a sign of health. And Jesus is saying something here. He's saying what is true of the physical is also true of the spiritual. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst is a sign of health in our spiritual lives. Well, we can hunger for a variety of things in life. I guess there'll be sort of bad things that we hunger for as well as good. And hunger can kind of take over our lives, and that can be a bad thing as well. A character in a famous film based on Wall Street once said, greed is good. This kind of hunger for more, greed is good. It's good as a drive that progresses humanity. It's good as a drive that makes us want more things and bring more money and bring more things into our lives. And you can well imagine that being said today. Hunger for wealth and power. Hunger for material security. Hunger for family success and flourishing. All sorts of different pleasures in life and desires. We have different hungers at different times. Well, Jesus flags up here another driver. He says, this is the best longing that anyone can have. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you want righteousness, if you desire more righteousness, that is good. That is a good hunger. So we need to quickly look at, first of all, what is righteousness? What is this righteousness that is blessed to hunger and thirst for? Well, in the Bible, it talks about righteousness as being a right ordering of our relationships. A right ordering of our relationship with God, a right ordering of our relationships with each other, and a right ordering of our relationships with the world, how we look after this world. Do you remember the Garden of Eden when we were made, when people were made in the world? God made them to know God and to have a right relationship with him, to know each other perfectly with nothing between them, and to look after the world perfectly. That is righteousness. It's a right standing with God and with people around and the world. That is a description of righteousness. And so therefore, unrighteousness is when these relationships are broken or spoilt. When we have a broken relationship with God through our sin. When we have a broken or spoilt relationships with each other through our sort of selfishness. And when we spoil our looking after the world. And we see unrighteousness around us in the world, don't we? We see it between nations, in war, kind of fighting over particular parts of the world and keeping particular peoples downtrodden. We've seen it within nations, injustice and unrighteousness within societies. And we see it within ourselves, in our own thought life and our desires for God and for others. Unrighteousness. And we also see the Bible talks about righteousness being past, present and future. And that's quite important to get clear, because there is a past righteousness which is offered to us in the death of Jesus. And that's a once for all. That's our right standing with God. Sometimes called justification. It's the same word, righteousness. And in baptism, talk about a child, a baby being washed through trust in Jesus. It's something that has been done. As we come to faith in Jesus, it is done. It's finished. And we are counted as righteous. In Romans 3, Paul writes from God, he says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between any sort of person. All have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified or made righteous freely by his grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." It's done if we trust in Jesus. And the danger here is if we have not accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, if we have not trusted in Jesus' death in our place, then we do not have that righteousness. But if we do, if we have trusted in Jesus as our Saviour, we are declared righteous. And that is done. And the righteousness in this verse, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, it's not that done righteousness in Jesus. We don't need to hunger and thirst for that anymore because it is given to us. We are members of the kingdom if we belong to Jesus. We have it. We don't hunger for it. We celebrate it. The righteousness here, which we are asked for, we are commended for hungering and thirst for, is a hunger and thirst for righteousness as marks of disciples. And if you've been in Beatitudes, you may remember Jesus speaking to his disciples. You've already decided to follow Jesus. So there's a blessed way of life. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Do you remember that? They say, "I need you, God. I need you, God." So blessed are they. Blessed are those who mourn, who are saddened by sin in our hearts and in the world and the brokenness of the world. For they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, strength under control. For they're no longer thinking of themselves or their status, but they're free to pursue what God wants. And here we have, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, living a life that is righteous and pleases God. Sometimes it's called sanctification, if you like those sorts of words. Justification done as we come to trust in Jesus. Sanctification, an ongoing work in our lives. But can you see, it's about character. It's about our growth as the people of God. And it's like the other Beatitudes. It's like being like Jesus. We're not satisfied with the status quo, but we hunger and thirst for God, to know his ways more, to know him better more, wanting to be like Jesus, to reach out to all sorts of people, to raise the downtrodden, to open our arms to children and to sinners and to those who the world rejects, to challenge hypocrisy and stand for truth, to have perfect integrity, to be like Jesus. Jesus who submitted to his Father's will, who laid down his life and who showed love and forgiveness, even to those who executed him. To be like Jesus, this righteousness, it's beautiful, but it's costly. It's being like Jesus. Hungry and thirsting. Remember what the original audience would be like. They're not people who might be peckish mid-morning for a little cup of tea and a snack between breakfast and lunch. They'd have been people who'd been out in the fields working hard. Sometimes water would be short supply. Sometimes they'd be without food for a while. They knew what hunger and thirst was. There was a hope for the future, but there wasn't a sure and certain supermarket stocked with everything you could possibly want. No, for them, hunger and thirst would be desperation. Where is food? Where is drink? They'd be all consuming, hardly able to think of something else. Is that what we know of hunger and thirst when we think of our hunger and thirst for God? Can it be all-consuming? in Psalm 63, King David, who certainly knew God, he can write this: O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Do you see that picture language? Is that a description of you, of me? Is that how we hunger and thirst for God, for his righteousness in ourselves and in the world, for people and societies, justice, becoming under the rule of Lord Jesus? Is that what we want? That's Jesus saying that's the marker of a believer. Blessed are those who see and hate wrong and long for things to be put right, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, where do we go for this righteousness, for revealing this righteousness? If your car is broken, you know to take it to a mechanic. If your body is broken, you know to take it to a doctor. If something like a school is broken, I guess Ofsted and kind of official things come in and fix it. What about unrighteousness? Well, we come to the Word of God. Jesus came to the Word of God to know God more as he hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Do you remember in the desert when he was hungering and thirsting for food? That's right, but he said, man does not live by food alone, but by every word of God. The Word of God feeds us and gives us water, gives us drink to feed our hunger and thirst for righteousness. In fact, we know that Jesus himself became the bread of life, a spring of water to eternal life. We come to the Word of God, Jesus himself, to be filled. I used to belong regularly to a weekly club. It was basically swimming. It was life-saving, but it was that sort of swimming which involved pyjamas and diving down for weights and doing ropes and things like that. But it was very tiring if you've ever kind of been swimming and had people tell you, do more and swim further and then faster and all those sorts of things. And at the end, we went to a pub and we had a pint and fish and chips. And I tell you, it was wonderful. If you've done the kind of swimming thing, or if you've been for a great long walk, or whatever it is, that food and that drink you get, doesn't that satisfy you particularly at the end there? Well, notice where this verse takes us. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, yes, for righteousness, yes, for they will be filled. For they will be filled. As we realise more of our need, our hunger and thirst for God and God's righteousness, God fills us. And notice, we're not blessed because if they try really hard, they'll get there. It's not blessed because if they reform themselves, they'll have the good life. No, it is a promise that God will fill them by his Holy Spirit in their lives. And yes, it's a work of a lifetime, but it does happen. Imagine the man who's driven by the career and out at all hours and work consumes him even when he's at home. But he becomes changed and transformed. And as he follows Jesus, he knows to make more time for his family and for things that are important in life. Or notice the insecure woman, maybe, who has relationships here, there and everywhere, who feels the need to be desired and to be wanted. But as she becomes more a disciple of Christ and grows in her love of God, she becomes more secure and content in Christ. Or think of the parents worrying about their children or their finances for the future, but they grow in their trust of Jesus and in their peace. Or that those people have relationship problems, family members, conflicts with each other. As they come to know Jesus, they know what it is to be reconciled and to be reconcilers. They become filled with righteousness. Yes, it's the work of a lifetime, but God does it in our lives by his Spirit. Think of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of these things we grow in when we long for more. The closer you come, the closer you want to be. Our hunger and thirst, it never finishes in this life. But Jesus says, blessed are the hungry and thirsty. If you're not a Christian, if you do not follow Jesus here today as your Lord and Saviour, you cannot be right with God without first turning to Christ and away from living for ourselves. That's that picture of baptism, isn't it? It's what, something we need to come to God for, and we need to be washed and born again. We need to give our lives to Jesus and to trust in him. And if you want to find out more about that, it'd be lovely to talk to you afterwards. But these descriptions here that Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. These are disciples. So if you know Jesus, this is a word to you. If your first encounter with Jesus at his cross, then Jesus says, well, does your heart respond like this? Do you hunger and thirst? A famous preacher, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, if this verse is to you one of those most blessed statements in the whole of Scripture, you can be certain you are a Christian. But if it is not, you better examine the foundations again. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you want to be more like Jesus? Because we know there's a danger of getting used to things, isn't there? Think of your car, maybe, or your house. I'm sure, like our car and house, there are certain idiosyncrasies which you only notice when other people come. The hot water that only works in the wrong direction, or the heating which goes clanking, or those strange floorboard noises, or the car that you know you need to switch on certain things in the right order in order to get it to go. You get used to it. And it's like that with our lives. Certain parts of our lives, maybe, certain temptations, we just get used to them. But actually God wants to do a work in every part of our life, where there is injustice or brokenness, where there is spoiltness, where there is distance from our Father God and unrighteousness. Do we hunger? And if hungry, do we know where the food is? Coming to the Word of God, coming to him by prayer, trusting Jesus and the work of the Spirit in our lives. There will finally stop hunger and thirst. And we had that reading from Revelation 7, which speaks of a vision of the future, a vision of things made perfect, where people will need not to hunger or thirst in any way ever again, because they will be with God. It said, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That is a sure and certain promise, folk. But as we wait for that future righteousness, as we trust in our past righteousness, do we desire for more of God now? If we have a little appetite for God's word or for meeting with others, or maybe God is speaking to us today, do you hunger and thirst for me? And if your hunger and thirst is not so strong, maybe we need to realize again, Jesus is the best that we can know. He is the best that can ever be offered for us. Is he the most precious? Is he worth more than other things? Our longing can be dulled. Are we ruthless with sin? Do we get rid of it in our lives? Are we wise with how we spend our time and listen to God in his words? Or do we just listen mostly to what the world says and temptations say? Are we actively pursuing God? C.S. Lewis comments that so often our God finds our appetites not too strong, but too weak. He wrote, our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and desires and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, we're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Do we have a big enough vision of what God offers us in Jesus? Or are we too easily pleased? Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? And as we hunger and thirst, as we read more of God, and meet to encourage each other more in God, and spend more time in prayer, and so desire more of God, and know more of God, and love more of God, and so desire more of God, so we live the blessed lives of disciples, able to enjoy more of what we were made for. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for calling us to you by your Spirit and in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Help us to want more of you. Help us to hunger and thirst more for your righteousness in our lives and in the world around. Help us to enjoy you more and to have sure and certain faith of the good promises you have for us now and in the future. Open our eyes to your bounty, to your beauty, to your magnificence, and help us to hunger and thirst for more of you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.